Mick, one feels like minus 10. Shouldn't we be, should we be somewhere else talking radio? Should we be?
We should be where 30 of the best golfers on the planet are right now, getting ready to tee it up at the Century Tournament of Champions on my favorite golf course on the planet. And I tell you, if you don't even like golf and you don't like listening to Glass and I talk about it, just for the views of the island and the whales breaching and the beauty of Maui, you should turn on the Golf Channel at 5 o'clock today and take in the scenery.
Exactly right. It's like watching a postcard come to life, the vistas and views from Kapalua's plantation course. Phenomenal. And so is the weather this week, upper 70s, upper 60s for your highs and lows. So you can dream a little bit while you're frozen in your house. Mick, what do we recommend people to do if they're having issues? Do they just hang tight, call the utilities company? What are we trying to – we're trying to prevent this, obviously, by running some water, opening your cabinet doors. Have you had a ton of calls on this?
You know, we do. And I think I cursed our utilities guys last week when I was talking to Keith. I said, we have not had any major water main breaks, and I think the next day we had two. So it is that time of year, and sometimes it's bad. It gets worse when it freezes, temperature warms up a little bit like it did yesterday. Your pipes start to unfreeze, then they crack, and then you have a leak in your house somewhere. We've heard some of those comments. So here are the tips from our utilities department, and you've mentioned a few of them. Let your faucets with supply lines located on outside walls drip a little bit to prevent water in the home plumbing system from freezing. Open up your cabinet doors to expose those pipes. You know, maintaining a continual water flow, usually about the size of a pencil, is what utilities recommends to prevent your water pipes from freezing during this extended period of time where we've had sub-freezing temperatures. And know where your water shutoff valve is. If you don't know where that is today, you ought to find out because that'll help in the event that you do have a water line break, you can go at least limit the damage by turning off the water in your household.
And the other thing to remember, if you're not sure, do these things. If you're not a plumber, fine. Don't worry about it. Be preventative, because the last thing you want to do is deal with frozen water and wet and broken pipes and all that stuff. So even if you're not sure, well, is it on an outside wall? Is it not? I don't know. Just be proactive.
And this is kind of a news flash, too, because we were talking about weather and city services. We have a policy for our sanitation crews who are out today, or were out today, picking up trash and recyclables. And anytime the wind chill drops below to minus 10, they're ordered to come off the trucks and get back into warm conditions. And it's minus 13 wind chill right now.
Ooh.
So if you saw our guys out picking up your trash and recyclables, they might be reevaluating for the next hour or so as the weather conditions change. Hopefully as the sun comes up, we'll get some better temperatures and the guys and crews can get back out and finish their pickup, but it may be a little delayed this morning. They've been out, but they're going back in for an hour or so to reevaluate.
So if you were late getting to the curb this morning because you couldn't get out of bed, you might have gotten a get-out-of-jail-free card.
That's right.
Hustle down and add to it if you need to do so. Mick Renheisen's our guest this morning. He's the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington. We always talk about fun things like golf, important things like what's going on with pipes and everything else. But you guys had a major, major announcement yesterday, a press conference at City Hall with the mayor and Matt Bailey from Bloomington Health. I can't read that. I have to read that off the paper. That's a long name. IU Health, the group. And we now have a vision, a plan of what's going to happen with the Second Street Hospital complex once everything moves out to the 4546 bypass. Tell us about what we might have missed yesterday.
Yeah, we're very excited to announce the arrangement we've reached in a letter of intent with IU Health Bloomington to acquire the hospital proper site. And by that, I mean everything that people would know is the hospital building and the parking structure that it sits on. There's also three other parcels that surround the hospital proper site, and all those parcels total about 24 acres of property that the hospital will be relocating from when they build their new campus on the east side over on the IU Golf Course driving range in 2020 and early 2021. So our arrangement is to purchase the property at a discounted price of $6.5 million. Now, we had this arrangement is based on a $16 million value of the land only on all those sites, not the buildings and the structures. And the reason for that is that IU Health wants to make sure that there's not a blight, an eyesore, a problem for the community to repurpose by leaving that massive hospital structure on the main site. So they've indicated to us that they think that has to come down, and they'll pay for that to come down on their dime, and they'll remediate the site. We agree that while there could be some reuses, far more examples of hospitals like this one that sit for a decade or more and become a real problem to redevelop. And so at their suggestion and some of this early discussions we've had, we think the best path is to tear the main site down. We've been allowed to consider whether or not we want to keep the original administration building, known as the core building, KOHR, and the hospital parking garage, which is obviously newer than most of the other structures there. And those will be discussions we have as we enter into an agreement with the Urban Land Institute to come in April. And this is a group of national experts and advisory services panel that comes in, architects, economists, marketing people that come in and look at sites and try to imagine what can be repurposed there. So that's a very public process. There'll be literally over 100 interviews done in that week with stakeholders in the community, and there'll be public input sessions. And after that process is done, they deliver a report to us about 6 weeks later that just gives us some kind of a blueprint or roadmap of what might happen. The city's intention is not to continue to own the land in the future, but rather to find the right development proposal or proposals for that 24 acres and then get it back into the private sector to build.
And who ultimately is going to decide what that is going to be? Will that be the city council's responsibility? Is it going to be the administration's responsibility if someone comes in and wants to buy this land down the road? Are we going to pick and choose who gets a choice at it? We're going to review proposals. You hope to have 20 proposals to review, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's several years down the road, or maybe at least a year down the road before we get to that kind of substantive discussion. The first part is to imagine what could go there and use these experts and our community members to kind of envision what can go there. And then, as you suggested, what follows would be maybe a formal proposal process. Here's a vision. You know, here's kind of a site plan that could happen. What are the private sector developers and the real-world market suggest can happen, and does it happen in phases? We'll be asking the panel that's coming in about things like that. What, you know, is this a phased-in project? How do you envision these things happening from your experience elsewhere? So several steps to this before the site's vacated in late 2020, early 2021. It may take 6 to 9 months to tear down the existing hospital structure. We may not see any actual movement towards anything new on the site till 21 or 22 or later. And then that just depends on phases. So I think the great thing about this is we're announcing it early, right? This is 2-3 years from the time that the site's vacated.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
A lot of time to plan. And, you know, I know there was a lot of anxiety, and it would have built even more as the new hospital structure starts to come out of the ground about what are we going to do with the old one? Well, I think at least the first step of that answer is the city's going to have the property and will be starting the process with this Urban Land Institute group, and then many more steps to follow after that.
Why did you get a discounted rate? How did that come about? And why wouldn't Bloomington Hospital want to sell it for the full freight?
That's a great question. And I think on their end, they want to concentrate on their new $400 million project and on healthcare services, which is what they do. And on our end, it's redevelopment, and it's in the we'd like to think this could be another hub of the not too distant. It's not that far from the downtown. It's not going to be too far from the expanded convention center. It's in String of Pearls that the mayor talks about a lot. So I think it's what the city and redevelopment people do. And so we think that we're each doing what kind of our missions are to do, redevelop the downtown for the city, the hospitals taking care of healthcare needs for our community. And they just didn't want to be diverted away from their mission, and we totally understood that, so they were willing to sell it to us at a discounted price because it just put a stamp to the, they didn't have to deal with this, right? They can focus all their attention on their new project.
And the million-dollar question is, where do the $1 million come from?
The Redevelopment Commission and the Tax Increment Finance District, that's another great question. And yesterday, we informed the other news sources, so I'll tell you and your listeners. The Tax Increment Finance District has over $21 million of cash in it now, so pending RDC Redevelopment Commission approval sometime in this month or early February, and a purchase agreement to be executed sometime also in February with IU Health. This is just a letter of intent phase so far, but we certainly anticipate our groups, IU Health Board and the Redevelopment Commission, to approve the deal. That money would come from the cash. It's not to be paid out over one lump sum. It actually is to be paid out over 7 years.
So that's even easier on the pocketbook. Absolutely.
Yep.
Mick Renheisen is our guest this morning, and the redevelopment of the hospital, obviously big news now. That are we calling it the Redevelopment Commission? There's a group with Vi Simpson, and there's 35 people on it, right? Everybody from everywhere is on this. On this group that is still up and functioning, correct?
Well, they were kind of in a hiatus for a while.
Yeah, that's
really,
what, yeah.
Really was. They were all that group was created by former Mayor Cruzan, and they did great work. We've reached out to the committee chairs and had some discussions with them. Not many, mind you, over the last year while we were kind of working in the background with IU Health on the letter of intent. But we did say yesterday at the press conference that the chairs will be re-engaged shortly, and they'll obviously be a part of our ULI process coming up in April, and how the rest of the committee members that worked on their various elements of the project, their work is really valuable going into this Urban Land Institute process. It's going to be one of the key documents that will inform the panelists of the work that's already been done to kind of reimagine how the site could be used and also some of the limitations that exist on the site.
Is the Urban Land Institute for hospitals only, or anything to have to do with urban redevelopment?
Anything to do with urban redevelopment that we've had experience, the city has with them before. You may recall back in the late 90s under Mayor Fernandez, the Thompson Consumer Electronics site was vacated, all that acreage on Patterson Drive that's now Best Beers and Cook Pharmica, soon to be Catalent Pharmica. All that space was planned by the Urban Land Institute back in that era. So this, as far as I can recall, this is that was the last time we used a group like this. But it's typically done for a pretty major redevelopment project, as that was in that era, as this will be in our era.
And there's nothing to worry about if the IU Health Group doesn't get up and running on time at their new digs at the bypass. This is all in that kind of agreement that you have. This is a partnership. This is not a transaction.
Also a great way to phrase it. It is a partnership. IU Health is not leaving our community. They want to be good neighbors. They want to be good community citizens. They've been here for 113 years. They're obviously going to be investing a huge amount of money on the east side. Any community would love to have a hospital build what's about to happen in their community and also not leave us with the challenge on the other side. And they're just doing what a good corporate partner, community partner, let's call them that instead of corporate, because I really view them more as a community partner, would do. And maybe not all of them would do it quite with the generosity and goodwill that IU Health is, but we're thankful that that's the approach that they're taking.
All right, so that's good. Now, what's the downside? What's been the blowback on the other side of it? Is not happening fast enough? The neighborhood part of it is. How are those folks reacting to it?
Well, yesterday's press conference, I like to walk around. We had a great turnout, by the way, and Council Chambers was pretty full on the ground level, so maybe 100 people. And I kind of like to read body language and go around and find some people who may be
a little grimace here, a little frown there.
I got to say, I didn't see much. I think right now, people are happy that there's a path forward. Now, there may be criticism as the path moves forward, and that's fair. We don't know yet quite what's going to emerge from the various processes coming up, but I really didn't hear anything yesterday. I'm not going to be naive and suggest there's not some people out there that say you shouldn't have done this, or why'd you spend any money? You should have got it for free. I mean, there's any number of ways, I suppose, to criticize any deal, but I really didn't hear any vocal opposition to it yesterday.
Well, that's a good start. And obviously with this not turning around in any record time, there'll be plenty of time and a timeline put together where people can put in their input. As you mentioned with ULI, there's going to be plenty of meetings and things where the public can have their say.
That's right. And we're looking forward to hearing some ideas. Now, I know that maybe this is a downside that some will say is like, well, we could have reused the building. That's possible. It's been proven to be pretty unlikely in most other hospital reuse sites. But in this case, it really wasn't an option. IU Health was pretty adamant. It's just not something they want to leave there that ends up being a blemish on the community. So that option was kind of taken off the table.
And there's the reason why. You just don't know how that's going to work out. So you don't want to wash your hands completely of it. They're giving you the nice discount on it. So I think that's the compromise that comes out of there. What else is making news that we need to pay attention to? Looks like you had a great New Year's Eve celebration over there at the city. Bette Savage and the gang put that together. Looked great. It's been cold. What have you been doing? Freezing?
The nice thing, and I think we're about to see our 42,000 other residents join us again starting this weekend for resumption of classes, is it's always a little calmer during this break over the holiday to catch up on things, to plan, to celebrate a little bit of what everyone accomplished, both in their families at home and be with family over the holidays, and at city government for us to kind of reflect on what we get done, what we didn't get finished, what carries over into the new year, what are our goals for 2018. So we've been spending a lot of time preparing for those kind of things, end of the year cleanup and beginning of the year, getting goals started and initiatives underway and trying to make things happen that our residents want us to do. And so that's what we've spent our time doing, I think, for the most part. And I'm looking forward to a great bicentennial year that both the city and the county celebrate. A lot of events coming up. You mentioned one of them was held at City Hall.
We had about
350 people came to the very early celebration of New Year's, where a lot of activities were going on. People seemed to enjoy it while they were here, and many more events to come.
You know why they enjoyed it? It was inside. That's why they enjoyed it. I have my button here, the 200 years with the city and county.
Got more of those. We hope to get out at our events over the year. So
plenty of time to get involved. You have any trivia? Working on any trivia over the
I do
holiday.
Have some trivia.
It's just me this morning, no Keith. So I don't. Speaking of body language, I can always tell the questions that he's not going to answer when he gives me that look from across the studio, like, oh, geez, how am I going to get this right? But I'll try to wing it alone. Go ahead.
All right. Now that winter weather's officially hit Bloomington, we thought it's a good time to talk about sidewalk safety after snow or ice storms. So under Bloomington Municipal Code, property owners have how long to remove snow and ice from sidewalks following its accumulations? Fortunately, we haven't had much of that yet.
24 hours.
That is the answer. Without even listing the four options, it is 24 hours. So
we try to help everybody on that, because we don't want people to pay fines and we don't want people to get hurt. It's a win-win for everybody.
And that is question number two. What is the fine that could be charged against you if you violate the 24-hour removal of ice and snow on your sidewalk?
I will patiently wait for your multiple-choice answers on this portion of the test.
Well, is it a bad neighbor citation from the police department? Is it an article about your lack of neighborly concern in the HD? Is it the suspension of your trash pickup for 30 days? Or is it a fine of up to $150?
Well, I will guess it's a fine up to $150, and that's if you do not cooperate after the first 24 hours. Most people get this. It's just if you're on vacation or not here, make sure somebody's responsible for that.
That's a great reminder, and thanks for doing that. We hate to do any fines, but obviously this is a public safety thing, so please be sensitive to the fact that there are other people with maybe some mobility challenges. And
right.
A lot of people walk to work and in front of your businesses and residences to get to places, and that's a problem if they can't get through your particular part of that sidewalk or public way.
Question
finally,
number three for
finally,
you.
The winning. Would like to remind you.
No.
You can ask me one.
I'm going to ask you one.
Okay.
The winning total at the Century Tournament of Champions this year will be.
Ooh. They rip that course up if it's not raining. But you're giving me options.
I'm going to give you options. A, 29 under. B, 25 under. C, 22 under.
My first instinct was 22 under.
Okay, well, that was the winner last year, Justin Thomas. 2 years ago, Jordan Spieth was 30 under, and then Patrick Reed beat Jimmy Walker 3 years ago at 19 under. But you're right. It's all depending on the rain. The good news is it's prevailing wind, so the course will play normal as it should, and they will tear up 7,400 yards in par 73 as they normally do.
Love this golf tournament. Love this time of year, golf season. I think this is when golf season kicks off, but I know they have the wraparound season. But
I'm with you. Let's do it this week. And then next week is just over at Crummy Wildlife. Over. So you've got Hawaii back-to-back weeks to enjoy it. Mick, if that doesn't make us feel warm, I'm trying to get this forecast turned around. We're in the 30s all next week for highs and even the 40s a couple days. So it is looking up, and we appreciate your time as always, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Cliff.